Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
Massachusetts energy officials are now going with Plan B to bring clean energy to the state. Plan A was the Northern Pass project that would have brought hydroelectric power from Canada to Massachusetts through New Hampshire. The state is hoping to bring that same power to Massachusetts, but through Maine instead. We're going to hear perspectives from both Maine and Massachusetts. First, we're joined by WBUR Bostonomics reporter Bruce Gellerman, who's been following the Northern Pass project story. Hi there, Bruce.
Hi, Deb.
So let's talk about where we are. 2 years ago, the governor signed legislation to bring in clean energy to meet mandated environmental goals.
That's right. And a request went out for clean energy proposals. 46 proposals came back. They were for a huge amount of energy. It's like 17% of Massachusetts' load, its need, electricity need. And we thought it was a done deal back in January when Northern Pass, despite local opposition and significant permitting risks and the project's high cost, the state chose Northern Pass as the winning bid.
Hmm. But then Northern Pass hit a road block in New Hampshire. Remind us of what happened.
Oh, boy, did it ever. I think it was 8-0. The state's siting evaluation committee voted unanimously against Northern Pass. I mean, they did it in a hurry. They had a whole month. They took like a week and a few days to nix it. So they said, no way, Jose. And then Northern Pass's viability was thrown into question.
Mm, so that's a real David and Goliath story there. We're talking a huge project here. And then the Baker administration said, okay, Northern Pass, we'll give you a lifeline here. Why don't you try to negotiate a little bit with New Hampshire, but just in case the state had a backup plan.
Right, the Plan B. They came up, they liked Northern Pass first, of course. They gave it till yesterday, 12:01 actually, tonight, this morning, to figure out the situation. Northern Pass was owned basically by Eversource, and they had to negotiate long-term 20-year contracts with local utilities here in Massachusetts, and they ran out of time. They couldn't do it. They were going to bring this Hydro-Québec power to the state, and now they're going to bring it through, instead of, you know, New Hampshire, they're going to bring it through Maine.
So essentially, what is this decision today then? It's where Northern Pass is dead in the water, so to speak. There you go. I knew you'd get puns from you. So what exactly happened today?
Well, the word is terminated.
Okay.
So Northern Pass got terminated. That's the words of the state officials in describing how they were just ending the process with Northern Pass, and they took it off the table. And Eversource is not happy, as you could well imagine. Mm. And now they're going to have an exclusive contract development with the people in Maine, the New England Energy Connect.
And before we get to a little bit about that, tell us about this. You know, how would Northern Pass have been chosen in the first place here with all the high costs, the opposition, and all of that?
Right. Well, it was a matter of time. Massachusetts was up against the gun to meet its clean energy, you know, needs for global warming energy requirements to bring down the amount of carbon we're putting in the environment. And so that was 2020. This project, Northern Pass, was the only one that could be up and running by 2020.
Nice.
That's why they liked it, even though it cost a lot of money.
And so New England Energy Connect, tell us a little bit about how that's different, aside from the Maine New Hampshire thing. I mean, what's the big difference here between that and the other project?
Time and money. So $1.6 billion for Northern Pass, $950 million for this transmission line through Maine, which goes through basically places on the map where they already have the utilities.
Pre-existing
places on the map where they have right-of-way. Mm-hmm. It goes down 145 miles from the Canadian border down to Lewiston, Maine, and that's the new transmission lines, and it ties into the grid there. So it's a lot cheaper, but opponents say that it's not going to be cheaper. The wholesale price is going to be double, maybe even triple the price when you add in the cost of the hydro. So it could be very expensive. So it's going to take 2 years longer than Northern Pass.
So it doesn't meet the state guidelines then?
Right under the wire.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So let's talk a little bit about Maine here. I want to bring in Fred Bever from Maine Public Radio, who can tell us a little bit about the reaction there. Hi there, Fred.
Hi, Deb.
So tell us, what does Maine get out of this deal?
Well, some of the things you would typically expect from a big construction project, hundreds of construction jobs over the 2 years plus the build out, new operations and maintenance jobs. The company says that it will be paying about $18 million annually in property tax revenues to local communities. And it disagrees with some of the critics that Bruce just mentioned about what would happen to wholesale prices. According to CMP, there would be a suppressive effect and, in fact, would save consumers in all of New England several billions of dollars over the 20-year contract. That includes $40 million annually for Maine consumers in reduced electricity rates. Mm. So those are sort of – that's the basic benefits package that, CMP is promoting here in Maine.
But New Hampshire didn't want Northern Pass, a huge energy project there, saying it was going to be disruptive, it could affect tourism, the rural landscape. Would it be all that much different for Maine, and could that be a big concern?
Well, it's similar and different. It does go through a lot of remote and wild places, maybe even a little wilder than in New Hampshire. As Bruce mentioned, though, the company has already secured the rights of way, or it goes along existing transmission corridor. There are a few places where it crosses the Appalachian Trail, but as Central Maine Power said to me today, actually, we had those rights of way first, and the Appalachian Trail crosses our rights of way. You know, it's maybe a little less well-known or famous as the White Mountains are, a little less accessible to the Massachusetts recreationists and hikers and bikers. But there are some really significant scenic and recreational resources. There's a place, an area called the Forks, which is like a rafting mecca, and snowmobilers love it. Nearby, there's a really stunning place called the Kennebec River Gorge. CMP told me today that it's willing to bore a tunnel under that gorge if that's what local stakeholders want, or if they don't want that, to go over it but provide funding for new rec trails and other recreational resources in the area. So and still do it within the $950 million. So they're looking for support from the towns, and they say they secured it from most of them.
But there are still many permitting and regulatory hurdles here for this project in Maine. Is that expected to take, you know, some time? And what about opposition? What do we know about that at this point, Fred?
Well, it will take some time, but CMP says it will be within time. One environmental group is opposing the project based on scenic impacts and also what it calls unproven claims that Hydro-Québec would actually deliver new renewable energy to the grid rather than just shifting it from some other customers, so you wouldn't actually get the greenhouse gas emissions of reductions that Charlie Baker and the legislature are requiring. Some competing generators are going to get into the act here. They say that Hydro-Québec is subsidized by its government and that that's going to distort the market and unfairly undercut prices, could hurt workers here if those companies can't stay viable. There's some would-be developers of local wind and solar generation projects who say the design of this one would make it harder for them to tap into the grid. So there's going to be a tussle in the state environmental permitting and energy permitting, energy regulators permitting. But Governor Paul LePage has signaled his support. His top energy staffer says that they'll push it through. CMP, though, says it should have all its permits in hand by early 2019 and then break ground.
Okay. I just want to go back to Bruce with some of the things that you raised there, Fred. Bruce Gellerman, this talking about the administration of Maine Governor Paul LePage, what about the Baker administration? And how do you think things will go from here?
Well, they haven't gone right so far. Right, you know, the Plan A, Plan B. Plan B could get, you know, derailed too. So what happens now is at the end of April – from now to the end of April, the people in Maine have to negotiate long-term contracts with the utilities, local, you know, electric distribution companies in Massachusetts. They go to the DPU. They present the prices in their whole voluminous presentation of environmental concerns. Maura Healey, who's our, you know, basically consumer number one in Massachusetts, she's our consumer advocate, and she's going to be there. And she actually sent out a release saying, "I'm looking to a fair and open process. It could be a long process." And then, of course, the opposition will be able to have their, you know, kind of day in court. The New England power generators, they're really unhappy about this. You know, it's not power coming out of their generators. It's coming out of, you know, Canada, so they're not happy. And they said they didn't want any, you know, mandated clean energy. They wanted to let the markets decide.
And what about bottom line for ratepayers? We heard what Fred said about the estimates for Maine. What about Massachusetts?
Boy, they're going to be all over the map. So, you know, the wholesale price, according to the New England power people, say it could double, triple. That's the wholesale price for that portion of the power compared to what we, they pay existing price now. Boy, these calculations are higher level math, way above my pay grade.
WBUR's Bruce Gellerman, thanks very much for being with us.
You're welcome.
Also want to thank Maine Public Radio's Fred Bever. I'm sure we'll be talking with both of you about this in the future. Thanks, Fred.
Thank you, Deb.
Stay with us. Coming up, the powerful opioid fentanyl is showing up in cocaine and increasing the number of drug overdose deaths. We'll have a report. I'm Deborah Becker. This is Radio Boston.